bitching about the scoring.
Blog
was that what
radio.
It was? That he scored that round for Triple G or whatever? That
no,
one round or
that,
the one round for Canelo?
Yeah, he scored that. It was a clear Golovkin round.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
If he scored that round correctly, he would have had Golovkin winning the fight 115 and 130.
Right, instead of the draw.
His scorecard, in a lot of people's opinions, was just as bad as Adelaide Bird.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was a big mistake. Very big mistake. All right, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right. Oh, did you hear the new?
Get the fuck out of here, man. Please.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Oh, you're doing great with these fucking sound bites. Good job.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, then we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we have a great show for you tonight. And guys, if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about the pay-per-view numbers are in for Crawford and Porter. And they are less than stellar. Let's just say that. We'll tell you about them later. But first, we're going to get started with the big one on DAZN. Teofimo Lopez versus George Kambosos. What was this, Beeb? Three of the four belts? Because the WBC was a franchise, right?
Well, I'm going to explain that to you real quickly.
Explain this to me like I'm a five-year-old, because I don't know anything about these alphabet organizations.
You know how the WBC makes the rules up as they go along? They essentially made the franchise title equivalent to the WBA super title. So it's transferable, and they can Suleiman considered Lopez undisputed, and he considered Haney the WBC champion. I was reading an article on Ring Magazine, and they basically changed what the franchise title from just a basic designation to a transferable title. And he says that the franchise title is above the regular WBC title. So once again, Haney's WBC title. And it's not fair to Haney because
this
at the time,
zero sense. I got to be
at the time when Haney got his title, he was told he was the real champion. And then Top Rank and Teofimo Lopez, before they fought Lomachenko, they wanted the franchise title to be on the line. They wanted it transferable. So after that, Mauricio Suleiman basically switched things up as he normally does and made the rules up as he goes along. So that title actually became a super title. There's an article in the Ring Magazine. He was actually interviewed on YouTube, and the guy asked him, "So what is this franchise title? Is it essentially the same thing as a WBA super title? Is it the same thing as that?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "You could say that." So that basically that's what the franchise title is now. So from my understanding, I believe the franchise title was transferable last night.
So,
but I can't.
Yeah, before, like, yeah, I can't make sense. I don't even know if it was transferable. Because, like you said, the title itself was not supposed to be transferable. It was supposed
originally,
to be like, yeah,
but
you can't win it or lose it.
But he changed it.
Whatever. I don't know if this guy's a WBC champion. I know he's a WBA, IBF, and WBO champion. That's what I know. Whether he's WBC or not, who cares? That belt means absolutely nothing because, I got one hanging on my wall, so that shows you how difficult they are to get. Chandler M., you did win your pie bet. If you guys want to see me get pied, I've already done it. Go to Twitter, at ringside73. I've got the video posted up there. So there you go. Chandler M., congratulations, man. I tell you what, I did not see this coming. Chandler M. said this for months. According to WBC Twitter, a lot of things. Chandler M. has been talking about this for months, ever since his fight first got signed back in, early before July. I think it was supposed to go off back in March or whatever. And he has said Kambosos was going to win. And I completely laughed at him because, I said, you're crazy. And wow, I was wrong. Nobody picked Kambosos except Chandler M. Nobody actually went on record and picked him. except for Chandler M. So Chandler M., your name is on the mantle, my man. That was insane. I believe that we have another pie bet next week, and now I'm really not so sure. I thought, and Chandler M., correct me if I'm wrong, I thought we bet on Devin Haney and Joseph Diaz, and I took Haney. So, and Chandler M. said, of course, he wanted Diaz, I believe. So correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think that's that was the bet. And now I'm starting to second-guess myself, man. I tell you what, that Chandler M. is the real deal here. Let's see here. Let's talk about this real quick. George Kambosos wins a split decision to upset Teofimo Lopez by the scores of 114-113 for Lopez, 115-111, and 115-112 for Kambosos. I actually had it 114-112 for Lopez. I can't argue it either way. It was a real close fight. Could have gone either way. You know, you figure that Teofimo was like the house fighter here. You know, they're fighting in New York City. He's the big star. He's the undisputed champ. I didn't know that Kambosos was going to win that decision, I'll tell you that. I'm glad it went the right way, but I didn't know. You know, Lopez, let's talk about Beeb. Let's talk about how Lopez came out real quick. He came out in, like, fit to be tied. You know what I mean? I mean, he came out, he just started throwing shots, like hard shots, everything like the everything but the kitchen sink, trying to get Kambosos out of there. Kambosos really got in his head this past week. He really did, because I've never seen Teo like that.
Not just this past week, but the whole buildup he got in his head. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. You know, I tell you, and he came out there swinging. And I saw him getting clipped, and you saw it as well in that first round, that Lopez was getting clipped in that first round. He was getting hit. And I said, you know what? He's coming in a little bit too reckless. He's coming in a little bit too reckless for me, man. And sure enough, at the end of that first round, he got clocked. And they said it was a flash knockdown. I think the announcers were trying to say it was a flash knockdown. Listen, that was not a flash knockdown. He was buzzed. That was not like I just slipped and I fell, you know, I punched simultaneously. No, he got cracked. And he got cracked on the top of the head, and he went down. He was buzzed. And whether he was hurt or not, I know he was buzzed. So that was, I tell you what, man. And the other thing I heard all through this whole thing was how much turmoil Teofimo had outside the ring. You know, he had been off for, I guess, almost a year and some change or something like that. He had been off for a while. Coming back to fight Kambosos, who's been somewhat active. And, you know, all this, you know, matches up. It was just like watching him out there. And, Beeb, you saw his defense. And around the third round, he was breathing really heavy. He looked like he was breathing really heavy. But have you ever seen Teofimo look like that in the sense that he comes in, he doesn't move his head, he didn't have his hands up, he was just throwing haymakers. And I'm like, what is he doing?
The closest he's looked to that, and it's not a direct comparison, but the Nakatani fight.
Right, but he even looked better in the Nakatani fight than this.
Yeah, but this is what I've said all along about Teofimo Lopez. I was very high on Teofimo Lopez for the longest time, and I looked at that Nakatani fight, and I saw a little mental chink in the armor, but I kind of thought it was a one-off. Maybe he learned from that, and he'll move on from that. But I'm starting to see that this guy, and I said this before, he's not really the most mentally stable guy in the world, and I said that could have an impact on all this great talent that he has. And I said this. I started second-guessing my opinion on him based off of, you know, his mentality, his psychological profile. Going on Twitter and these tweets like, life is good, peace and love, and all this. Like, when people start, like, tweeting those things out, like these Tony Robbins-type things, it's almost like they're searching for help. Like, if life is so good, you don't have to tell me every day life is good. You know, mm-hmm. He's always got this turmoil going on around him. If it's not his dad acting a fool, it's someone else, you know, acting crazy around him. And from what I heard, he's not with his wife anymore. So that was
really
something that, yeah. because I mentioned this on a video earlier today. They were doing sort of like a preview show, like a build up, and it was like almost like a Yo MTV, not a Yo MTV Raps, but MTV type Cribs type show,
yeah,
where they went to his house, the Matchroom guys, and they were like, he was giving them a tour of the house, and they showed, like, he showed them the little room where his son sleeps, and he goes, yeah, my son's not with me right now, he's with his mom, and we're not together anymore, so that's why he's not here. So I'm sitting there saying, damn, you just married this girl about, what, a year ago.
And from what I understand, from what he was saying, like, his mom didn't like her. There was some friction.
Yeah, but
there.
Then they ended up patching things up during the Lopez, Lomachenko fight. Everything was, they were all cool. The whole family, everyone was getting along. You remember he was with the wife the whole time?
Yeah.
Remember his wife was with him a lot,
mm-hmm,
during that camp, and through all the promos, she was gone. So something happened there. They just bought a house together and everything. Like, during the pandemic, they went on vacation together. They went to Italy. Something happened. So there's always, like, this something going on. And I just don't think he's a guy that can control his emotions. He seems like a very emotional guy. And to be that upset and mentally unravel like he did during these press conferences and the whole buildup towards this fight, with George Campos. George Campos was laughing at him. He was, like, basically clowning him the whole time. But Teofimo Lopez was getting, like, real angry. He was saying crazy shit like, oh, this guy's making fun of my family, this and that and the third. I don't remember him making fun of, his family or anything like that. That was crazy. But I digress. I mean, so that was my problem with Teofimo Lopez, and I didn't think it was going to show up in this fight, but I questioned, later in his career when he did fight the Devin Haney's, the Tank Davis's, maybe the Lomachenko's of the world, the rematch, whatever. I was questioning whether these issues would resurface, judging upon all this behavior that I've seen during his time off. He seemed like he was just a wreck. And all the crazy things he was saying and his dad was saying, all the cringeworthy things, right? They were talking as if they've already made it. I know that they had a big victory over Lomachenko, but they were talking like they were at Canelo status already.
Yeah.
And they just didn't know how to deal. He went Hollywood, and he didn't know how to deal with it. He didn't know how to deal with this fame. He thought he was bigger than what he was. And I'm not taking anything away from the kid. It was a great accomplishment. Full credit to him. But you need to have some self-awareness in your life. All these crazy shit his dad was saying, it was just nuts. It was just nuts.
I tell you, his dad gave him no instruction in that corner last night.
You want to know what the instructions were, Eric?
Go out there and F him up. That was the instruction.
Go fucking kick his ass. Go fucking get him out of there. He goes, you know what he said? This is what he said. I'm paraphrasing, but this is basically what he said. He goes, all right, take your time, but hurry up and go out there and fuck him up. Hurry up and go get the knockout.
Was it Jimmy's Corner on Twitter? I think I was reading him. We were kind of going back and forth on it, and I think he said something to the effect of, I haven't heard advice like that since seventh grade recess or something like that.
Jimmy's hilarious, man.
Remy, thank you so much. He said salute. He said T.O. versus Nakatani. T.O. had issues with her then, too. Yeah, he did. He had girl problems, man. That's his Achilles heel, them girls.
Yeah.
Got to stay away from them.
She's a beautiful, beautiful woman, too.
Yeah, I mean, T.O.'s a champ. You know what I mean? Cambosos, and he picked Ruiz. Josh Chandler said he's called the two biggest upsets of all time. Cambosos, and he picked Ruiz over Joshua. Never forget. Hey, Chandler, like I said, man, he's got a place on the mantle. That's a bad guy right there, man. He's now revered. Turns out we don't have a pie bet for next week, so that's all right, too. Hey, he's earned it, man, that's for sure. Beeb, let me ask you a question. When you saw, like, Theo, no real instruction was given, and got me, and somebody in the chat just mentioned it, in the 11th round, a huge cut over the left eye opened up on Teofimo. It was big. It was a huge gash. I mean, if that would happen in the fifth round, that's a fight-stopping cut, put it that way. It was in the 11th round. He had one more to go. It's not that, you know, it'd be all right. When he came out for the 12B, did they even put Vaseline on that thing? I mean, it looked like they didn't even touch it. It looked very unorganized in that corner.
I don't know what the hell they were doing in there.
Okay. You know what it reminded me of? The Tyson Douglas fight.
I was just about to say. Once again, like when these guys, and again, I'll never sniff 1 ounce of what they can do and what they have accomplished in their lives. I won't even sniff that. But once these guys think they've made it, they think they know everything and
can't tell.
You know, we don't need this guy. We don't need that guy. We'll get rid of this guy. We'll get rid of that guy. You know what I mean? So
it was unreal, man. Let me tell you, because we talked about what Tio did wrong, but let's talk about what Kambosos did right. The activity for me was a big one with Kambosos.
Yeah.
You know what punch he threw and landed all night, which was beautiful.
Looping right in.
He threw the jab, followed by a left hook. It was almost like a double. So he threw the jab and then followed up with a left hook. It was I had never seen anybody do it that fluid before. Yeah, tough that is.
Yeah, tough that is
to pull off. What kind of punch it now? What kind of speed you need to pull that punch off?
Yeah.
It's insane, man. He controlled the jab. He controlled the distance. He threw that double left jab. It was landing all night, man. It really was. I thought it was a close fight. Like I said, man, I had Teofimo winning, but you can't complain. You can't complain either way. You know, you really can't.
Yeah, I did a poll. 60% thought that Kambosos won, and 40% thought Lopez won.
And now most people on Twitter had it scored like you did. Like you had it like 115, 111 or something like that.
I had it 116 and 110. The most popular scorecard was 115. I had it 9-3. Most people had it 8-4 for Kambosos.
Yeah, it was something around there. I mean, you were right in the ballpark anyway. After the fight, both Teofimo and his father said that they won at least 10 rounds. Stated they were robbed. Very classy. Very classy. I always say this. When I was coaching soccer, I said it to my teams and stuff like that. You can always see a person's real character come out after a loss. And this was no different. His real character came out. You know, I mean, it did. His real character just came out, you know. Teofimo said after the fight, quote, "The referee raised my hand. I won tonight. I don't care what anybody says. Yo, I won tonight. At the end of the day, I've been here. I've done that. I want to thank God. I want to thank everybody who came out tonight. I ain't no sore loser. I take my wins. I can take my losses. I'm a true champion. I came out here. I did what I had to do, and I went out there, and I did my best. I don't care what anybody says, man. I'm as real as they come. This is the takeover, man. We don't stop. We keep coming, yo. I love you all. I won this fight." Seriously?
Do you know what his dad said, too? He goes, "We didn't lose anything tonight. He goes, we didn't have to take a step back after this. He goes, we can go back top rank now and get 2 pay-per-view fights." Who the fuck is going to put him on pay-per-view? Like,
okay.
Can I just say something, Eric? I'm going to let you.
Yeah, no, back. Go ahead.
What do we always say, you and I? What is our biggest pet peeve? If you can't address why you lost or accept why you lost and be able to identify the issues that you had in the fight, and you take the Deontay with all, again, I hate to say this, but you take the Deontay Wilder route and blame everyone else, the judges, this wasn't a top ranked card. It was a matchup card. You know, we won. If you don't see that there's issues, right, then you can't fix the problem, and moving forward, you're not going to improve. You're not going to get better. What I've seen and heard from his dad and him is I think this may have ruined them. You say to yourself, this could be a wake-up call? Nah. Not by the way they reacted by it. We thought, you know, Deontay Wilder had that same mentality going into the third fight with Fury, and what happened? He got knocked out again. So they think that they can still go up to 140 and fight Josh Taylor, and Josh, like, that's a big fight.
Like, that's a big money fight now?
Listen, Josh Taylor, just like he's busting out at the seams at 135, Josh Taylor's busting out at the seams. Did you see Josh Taylor standing next to Terrence Crawford? He's bigger than Terrence Crawford.
Good guy.
He's a big dude. He ain't going to stay at 140. He's going to go out. in my opinion, the next fight for him is going to be he's moving up. Taylor's moving up to 147. He's challenging the Crawford title.
Makes sense. I mean, listen, my opinion. That's the fight to make now, right? I mean, that's the fight to make.
I like that fight.
I like the fight, too. Because,
I like
listen,
the fight a lot.
That fight with Teofimo, when you have two undisputed champions, that fight is now significantly less valuable than it was just 24 hours ago.
They think that they're in the same position after losing last night than they were going in.
What was Kambosos? Teo was an 1,100, a minus 1,100 favorite.
Yeah.
So in order to win $100, you had to bet $1,100. Okay, that's how big this was. All right? No, this is not.
You had to bet a pie.
What's that?
Or you had to bet a
pie. Or you had to eat a pie, one of the two. You know, you had to get pied in the face. You know, so again, man, like what makes you think that you're in the same realm as that you were 24 hours ago? What makes you think you're as valuable as you were 24 hours ago? No idea. This is a guy you were supposed to go in there and beat. This is a guy you could have beaten last night had you had proper instruction in the corner, because all that corner had to do was tell you to settle down. Settle down and box this guy. When Teofimo was boxing, I thought he did a great job.
Take your time and hurry up and go.
And hurry up and go out.
What in?
And in fairness, we didn't hear what was going on in the corner throughout all the rounds. But every time they seemed to go in that corner, he was telling them good round, this and that. They don't know. You're right. You can even
go
take the
fucking kick his ass.
You can either take the Deontay Wilder route and admit you did nothing wrong and not learn from it, or you can go the Anthony Joshua route and say, hey, I did plenty wrong. Let me try to fix what I did, and let me try to go back out there and do what I do and get better. He doesn't think there's room for improvement. That's his problem. You know what I mean? And that's going to haunt him. He needs to change trainers.
I'm going to openly say this, and I don't care. I'm not supposed to be biased, but I was rooting against him last night.
It's a friend of the show. How dare you?
All the shit that his dad and him were saying, and all the craziness.
Dad came on
and
did an hour interview, Beeb. Oh, that's awful. Jesus, it's almost Christmas.
It's an hour I could never get back to.
He just kept talking, didn't he?
I think I must have asked. We were on for an hour. Between the two of us, we must have asked three questions. You must have asked three questions.
I don't even think we got that many out.
All right. If that guy wasn't on something, whatever he's on, give it to me. Because I don't know, man.
Some people are just like that, where they can just talk, you know.
He's like 54 years old, and he's got his, like, hair faded up with lines and shit in it. Like,
does he have lines?
Yeah, he's crazy, man. Like, this guy is nuts.
Can you imagine putting lines in your hair at this age now?
That's what I'm saying. Sitting there wearing sunglasses, his hat to the back, and like, dude, it's crazy, man.
Oh, my God. So, on the flip side, George Kambosos was all class. I mean, he was a class guy from the top down. He really is, man. After the fight, went over and settled things with Teofimo's dad, that both of them guys did. And he also said he told Teofimo we could have a rematch in Australia, 80,000 people. Huge fight in Australia now. I mean, that to me, that's the route you go. That's a huge fight in Australia, you know. Devin Haney tweeted after the fight, let's make this happen. Assuming Teofimo moves up, let's make it happen. Talk about the unification, the undisputed. Ryan Garcia, interestingly enough, also tweeted and said he will come back to fight Kambosos next. What?
Everybody thinks Kambosos is the low-hanging fruit now.
Are you serious? Like, dude, like, you came out of the woodwork and you said what? Stop it. Didn't he stub his hand or his finger or something like that or whatever he did? He fell off the toilet. I don't know what he did to hurt his hand or whatever he did.
I don't know what he did, man. But I'm done with him, bro. Like I said, all these guys that aren't fighting the fights that I believe they should be fighting, I just I'm just pushing them off to the side, and I'm going to focus on the other guys. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain anymore.
Yeah.
And you know how I used to buy everything? I'm not buying everything anymore.
I told you.
I am part of the problem. I'm not going to be part of the problem anymore, man. The therapy is working, man, and I think I'm cured because I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the Tank pay-per-view. I'm not buying the Charles Martin pay-per-view. I'm just not doing it.
No.
Not doing it.
No, they're not good. They're not good at all.
I'm not buying shows that aren't worth it. Just not. Sorry.
Uh-uh. Nope. I agree. You had the fight scored now 9-3, right? You had to score nine
yes.
rounds to three. What
I
did you think? Let me ask you a question. What did you think of the judges in that first round? Because I gave Kambosos a 10-8 round in that first round.
As I did.
Two of the three gave him a 10-9 round. What are we doing here? Why on earth would you give him a 10-9? He was hurt in that first round. I think he was stunned in that first round. That was not a flash knockdown. I don't know what those announcers were watching between hearing check left hook every 5 minutes. We have to do a drinking game, a check left hook drinking game. Every time I watch The Zone, I hear Sergio Mora talk about a punch that he should know what it is, but he doesn't know what it is. Every hook that's thrown is not a check left hook.
No. One person I do like on that broadcast is Jessica McCaskill. She's a decent commentator. You don't like her? You and your fucking misogyny.
I didn't do anything.
Your fucking misogyny.
I didn't
never
say anything, man.
Never ceases to amaze me.
I didn't say nothing. I like Jessica. Yeah, she's all right. Yeah.
She looked good last night, too. She had a nice outfit on, too.
She
was pretty.
She should have been seen, not heard. All right, so that was messed up, man. Come on, why do you got to say
man.
Stuff like that? Why
Come
do you got to go there?
Please.
Oh,
really? I'm not going to sell any Manscaped products with you popping up like that.
It's Manscaped. It's not Womanscaped. Hey, by the way, we're going to have a contest later on. We got another game going. So if you guys want to be a part of that, just give us a call up and tell us you want to be a part of it, man. Just what do we got today, Babe? We got the shampoo and conditioner.
Oh, wow. Oh, can I say something? I
there
love that. Can I say one thing?
Yes.
I'm so happy. I got great news for you. Kevin got his Manscaped gear because he won the game. He was
yes.
he was so happy. He was so impressed. He's so happy that we sent it to him.
I still got Robert his. I didn't mean that.
He thought we were going to stiff him.
No, I sent it overnight to him. I overnighted it to him like a week later. I overnighted it to him, though. But, yeah, man.
Just let Nacho play that game.
Chandler M says, I need to change my Twitter handle. I tell you what. You want to bet on the Haney one? I'll do it. How about that? Bet on the Haney-Diaz fight.
Who are you going to take?
Haney.
Oh, he's
the man, son. Haney's the man.
Oh, he's taking
it.
You like Haney, yeah. You're a big guy.
Yeah. I've been
you're
saying it.
Haney.
I've been saying it and saying it and saying it. I think Haney's the man.
So he thinks Joe. You know what? I think JoJo. Call me crazy. I do think JoJo's live.
You think
I
he wins?
Think JoJo, I'm gonna say Haney's gonna pull it out, but I'm gonna put a little something on JoJo. I think it's like a 60-40 type fight. I think he has a shot.
Nah. Kelly King, the new member. Look at that. New member, Kelly King. All right.
I already thought he was a member.
Well,
man.
Now he's a new member, all right? Maybe this is
maybe,
his alias. Maybe this is like his burner, his trap phone,
maybe,
or whatever.
Maybe he upgraded his membership to a higher tier.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
That's what you need
there
to
you
do,
go.
Son. That's what you need
there
to
you
do.
Go.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
Boom. Chandler M, if you want to play for the prize today, go ahead and call in. Go ahead and call in and just leave your number in the leave your area code in the chat. I'll go to you. We can play the game. But I'll give you first dibs on it if you want to play, for sure. A lot of people think JoJo Diaz is overlooked. Off the Rope says he's overlooked. Earthquake says he has got the ability to win. Son, I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't winning that fight. It's not even close. I'm telling you. I don't lose two in a row, Beeb. Come on.
Imagine if you lost two in a row. Jeez, man. You wouldn't be able to show your face anymore.
I wouldn't. You know what I'd do? I'd wear like one of those paper bags over my face as I do the show.
You would probably have to retire.
I would. I would have to retire. I would have to retire. I don't lose twice, though, man.
Two in a row. You would be in serious trouble.
Yeah, but I didn't know you were talking about that because it ain't going to happen. You know what I mean?
We'd have to take you off the airwaves.
Yeah, right?
I have to bring Robbie back as the host. No, fuck that. No way. No, fuck that.
Robbie just gave me Chandler Remska area codes. So there you go. Jeez. All right. Anything else on the Teofimo fight? Who do you think Teofimo? What do you? I think Cambosos fights Haney.
He's got to go up to 140.
I think he fights Haney, and I think he fights him in Australia.
Yes, I think Haney beats him too.
I think Haney beats him. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
Haney's the best. I told you, Haney, I've been saying it for a long time. Haney's the best fighter on the planet right now.
Could be right.
I said it, man. I'm telling you, man. That's the way I feel.
You could be right. I'm going to lay a little something on JoJo next week. What? I'm going to lay a little something on JoJo next week. I think he's live.
Do me a favor. What you want? How much you think you're going to lay on him? How much you think you're going to lay on him?
I'll probably throw 50 on him.
Throw 50 on him? Do me a favor. Just put that in the mail. Send it to me, all right? Just PayPal me 50, all right? Because you're just throwing your money away, son. That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, you don't think he's got a shot, huh?
Nope. Dom said he's got JoJo with an upset. Son, listen, I put it on the line. I humiliate myself for you guys. All right, let's talk about the Showtime fights, man. This is a pretty good card, man. Stephen Fulton versus Brandon Figueroa. Stephen Fulton beats Brandon Figueroa via majority decision, 116-112 twice and 114 all. This was a good close fight. It was hard to judge, but at the end of the day, man, I think the right guy probably won. I don't think it was a robbery. It was just a tough fight to score. This is one I didn't score. I was just watching it later on at night, and I'm just like, wow, this is a close, close fight. Both fighters stood in the pocket, just fired away for the full 12 rounds. Beeb, I don't know if you scored it or not. Do you think the right guy won?
I had it 115 or 113. For Fulton. I thought he pulled it out. It was a close-ass fight, though.
Close fight. You know, I'm looking at it. I thought Figueroa might have edged it. I thought Figueroa, you know, but it was one of those fights, man. That's a tough, tough fight.
Yeah.
Because you got one guy being aggressive on the road. You know what I mean? It's tough.
Figueroa thought he won the fight like 8-4, he said. He's going to move up to 126, I think, in his next fight. He said, first he said he wanted a rematch, then he said he's going to move up to 126. So Fulton said, you know, it was a great fight. It was a close fight. You know, he acknowledged it, but Figueroa, while Fulton was being interviewed, him and Teofimo Lopez, I thought were kind of poor sports last night, man. You know, Figueroa was, you know, he's gotten some close decisions go his way too. So I don't know.
Yeah, they never want to talk about that, though. They only want to talk about the decisions that didn't go their way, not the ones that should have went the other way, you know. We talked about Fulton. Let's talk about this one. This was real interesting to me. Raisa Leem versus Eduardo Baez.
Yep.
This was a good fight, man. So Raisa Leem wins the majority decision, 95-95, 98-92, and 96-94. I tell you, this is good, man. Aleem looked good early here, but he seemed to fade down the stretch. Baez was able to hit him with his right hand almost at will in this fight. I mean, like, flush right hands. That was kind of alarming to me, man, because he was getting hit in the middle of the fight, like in the fifth round and on, with, like, flush right hands. That guy was just throwing him and hitting him, you know. Down the stretch, maybe you can speak to this. Aleem switched to southpaw for some reason. I don't know why he did this. It wasn't effective, and he just looked exhausted in this fight, man.
I had this fight very close. I had Aleem pulling this out 96-94. I had it 6-4, just like one of the judges did. But another judge agreed with Steve Farhood, who had it wide. He had it 8-2. He only gave Baez 2 rounds. I thought it was a real close fight.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you, man. The one thing that got me is how much he got hit last night.
You know what the problem I saw was? Because Baez is so unorthodox, he's so awkward, but also he's got very long arms.
Yeah.
A lot of times Aleem thought he was out of range, and he was getting hit with shots that he just didn't anticipate himself getting hit with because he was having a hard time gauging the distance, right? I thought he had his best work when he was in the mid-range, you know? And when he did switch to southpaw, he did throw a couple good right hooks and stuff. So, but, you know, even his corner was saying, you know, you're doing it too much. You don't need to do that. Because there's a lot of fighters who switch back and forth. But what I notice is a lot of guys who switch to southpaw, they're not as good defensively in that southpaw stance as they are in the natural orthodox stance. There's a few guys, like I think Utsenis is pretty good defensively in the southpaw stance. But a few other guys, like Crawford, when he goes southpaw, he tends to get hit when he's in the southpaw stance. He's very good offensively, but I think that's when he's the most defensively vulnerable. Not that he's extremely vulnerable in that stance,
yeah.
But more so than when he's orthodox. So I agree with you. I think that when he switched to southpaw, he was getting hit more than when he was orthodox. So
yeah, like I said, man, it was I don't know. He got hit a lot. He tired out. Nacho said he looked rusty. Yeah, he absolutely did.
Yeah, he did as such. Yeah,
but I you know, after seeing it, if he fights this way against like a guy like Stephen Fulton, I'm not even sure that Stephen Fulton's gonna fight him next. I think it was Danny Roman calls Fulton out. He's the mandatory also for one of those belts. I don't think Aleem gets that next shot. And based on his performance last night, I wouldn't take the next shot. You need to get a little bit more seasoning under your belt, man. You got hit a little bit too much last night. That was not a good performance, put it that way.
He wants him next, but I'm not 100% sure he's ready.
I'm not 100% sure that's best for him if he gets him next, you know. So, yeah, man.
That may not be the best move.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Gary Antonio Russell versus Alexandro Santiago. Russell wins a majority decision 95-95, 96-94 twice. Beeb, I don't know. Russell looked okay here. He didn't look great. I saw Gary Russell in the corner. Did not see I don't see Gary Russell. That's the closest you're probably going to see to get Gary Russell in the ring.
Yeah.
Incidentally, the WBC has extended Gary Russell. I guess they said he'll defend his title next year sometime.
Yeah, don't hold our breath on that one.
Yeah, I don't know why he just doesn't retire already, but whatever. What did you think of Gary Antonio Russell?
I think he's a solid fighter, but once again, I think the whole Russell family, they're plagued with inactivity. And, you know, they don't throw a lot of punches. They lay back too much. And the problem is when you're scoring a Russell fight is they leave a lot of rounds on the table. You find yourself at the end of the round saying, who am I going to give this to? Because of the lack of activity, because of just laying back and trying to suck their opponent into traps.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely can fight the Russells, right? But they're very similar. They remind me a lot of each other the way they fight, the way they approach boxing. They're talented, but they just don't have a style that lights the world on fire. So they're not always going to get the benefit of the doubt on scorecards because of the lack of activity and because, you know, if you're constantly fighting off the back foot, you're not going to always get credit for that in a close round.
Right. So, also, too, Triller last night put on a pay-per-view. Frank Mir, it's that Triller triad thing where they had the boxers against the MMA guys and whatever. Kubrat Pulev versus Frank Mir. Pulev wins via TKO over Frank Mir in the first round. I don't know if you happened to catch this or not, Beeb. I didn't pay for it. I just saw the ending or whatever. I guess the entire fight because it was only 2 minutes. Pulev had Frank Mir out on his feet. Mir stumbled back to the corner, right? The referee just kind of stood there looking at him. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, you could tell he was legit out on his feet. I mean, and he stumbled backwards, and Pulev just looked at him and then just started, like, walking real slow toward him, and then the referee jumped in, you know, as to stop him or whatever. I'm like, hey, tell you what, Pulev lands a couple more shots on that guy, he's going to hurt him.
Exactly.
They hurt him for real, man. Like, come on, man.
I get nervous when I hear that Trilla's name is on anything. Yeah.
Because
I'm just
good, man.
It seems like they're just an accident waiting to happen over there. Because you got these guys. I love Frank Mir. But he's got no business in the ring with Kubrat Pulev. None.
No.
And he went into the fight injured from what I heard from Rampage Jackson. Right? So why is this guy fighting still? Why are these guys allowed to fight? I just don't understand it. But I can't tell people what to do. Everyone has a right to do what they want and make a living any way they see fit. But as I've said several times, sometimes you got to save people from themselves. And I worry about Frank Mir, man. I just do.
Yeah.
He's taken a lot of serious. He's been in a lot of tough fights and taken a lot of beatings. When he loses, he usually loses badly.
And this isn't just like jiu-jitsu where you're not going to get head trauma or anything like that, or any kind of crazy head trauma. Boxing is a little bit different, and the bare knuckle stuff is a little bit different.
And the gloves are small, too.
They're MMA size gloves. Yeah, they look like MMA size gloves to me.
They are.
So,
they are.
Yeah, man.
So you have to say to yourself, man, this is crazy, man. Why are they still, why are they allowed to do this? They gotta be saved from themselves. Someone's got to stop this.
Right.
Seriously.
All right, let's go to Chandler M is on the line. So, Chandler M, hang in there. I see you. We're going to play the game here in a few minutes. Let's go to Robert here, 530-530. You're live.
Hello, Eric, Joe. How are you guys?
Robert.
How are you this evening, Robert?
Doing great. You never know what you're going to see when you turn on your TV, man. That was some surprise. I didn't expect that in a million years.
What did Mrs. Herrick think of that fight?
She didn't watch, Joe. She had her own things to watch, as I keep telling you.
Was she watching the Hallmark movies?
Yep. She's,
who was she watching
in,
last night?
She's into all the Christmas movies, man. And she's already decorating for Christmas. We've got our tree up already and all kinds of stuff. So this is one of her favorite times.
Do you have like a Christmas bulb with your picture on it, like a baby picture or something that she hangs on the tree?
No, Joe. I know there's some people that actually do that, but no.
Do you have the elf on the shelf? You guys do that?
No.
You ever touch the elf and he just disappears and never comes back?
Yeah. Anyway, on the boxing, guys, that was an incredible fight last night. And, Eric, I agree with you. As soon as I seen Lopez come out the way he did in the first round, I'm thinking, oh, my, this is not going to end well for him. Because, you know, just because you say you're going to knock somebody out in the first round doesn't mean you're actually going to get away with it. And then when he got put down at the end of the round, I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's the wake-up call he needed. Maybe we'll get back to a regular fight now. But it seems like throughout the night, no matter what, he was still trying to knock the guy out. And his dad, this is a bad advertisement for a father training a son. His dad never once gave him any kind of instructions. He just said, hey, go get the motherfucker out of there. You know, it's like, oh, would you hurry up already? I want to leave. You know, that kind of deal.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
There you go. But, you know, it's like, holy cow, that's not how you train somebody. You're supposed to be the eyes in the corner to be able to tell your fighter what he doesn't see when he's in the ring. But he didn't get no instruction whatsoever last night. And good
you know
for
that,
him.
You know what that would be like, Robbie?
What?
You know what that would be like, Robbie?
What?
If you asked Mrs. Herrick, what's for dinner tonight? And she goes, we're having fucking meatloaf, asshole. I mean, that's not how you talk to people, right?
No, it's not. You know, you treat people the way that you want to be treated. But, there was absolutely no instruction whatsoever in that corner. And good for Kambosos. I hope he gets the Haney fight. I hope it is over in Australia. And you know, good for him. You know, I'm really happy. I mean, here's a guy that we didn't know a whole lot about, basically came out of nowhere and walked into Madison Square Garden last night and basically did what nobody thought he could do.
There you go. There you go. All right, Robert, we're going to get rolling here. We'll come back to you, man. Stay on hold. All right, 951-951. You're live. 951. Uh-oh.
Guys, what a fight. What an upset.
You got to turn. Do me a favor. Turn your.
Correctly that you had. Oh, the AC's on. Okay. Eric, did I hear correctly that you had Lopez winning the fight? How?
I did. I had a 114-112.
What round?
Do me a favor. Turn your radio down. There's an echo.
Hold on. Okay, sorry about that, guys. I got a new part.
No, okay.
I don't know how to use it. You had him up. How? What round did you give Lopez? That's great.
Let's see here. I gave him 2 and 3. Here, I'll read it to you here. Hold on. Let me see. Let me get it up here. All right. Let's see here. I gave him 2, 3, 5... 8, 9, 10, and 12.
All right, I'm gonna watch the fight again. Another thing, being for you, can you bet on a fight at once it starts, or is it too late? That's a dumb question. But
yeah,
you can.
Oh, that's
really?
That's awesome. My friend was betting football yesterday while it was going on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Real time betting is awesome.
Yeah. Because by the third round, I was like, oh, shit, I think Combos is going to win. Like, what is going on here? I was like, should I put $50? But I was just wondering if you could do that. And then last thing I'm going to say is this guy reminds me of Broner, man. Like, the way he's just brass and cocky and thinks he's a shit. And you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Talking all this crap, no humility, and then he gets his ass kicked, like. What an idiot.
I mean, he got his taste of humble pie yesterday, man. Well deserved, right?
Well deserved.
Well deserved, yep.
Well deserved.
But, yeah.
All right, my man, we're going to get rolling here. All right, man.
Go ahead, finish your point.
No, I was just going to say.
Hold on. Hold on. All right, go ahead. Real quick. I'm sorry.
No, I said from what I saw yesterday, I want to see Kambosos fight Haney, and I think he can beat him.
Be a great fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, man, I don't know that he beats Haney, but it's a good fight. It's a good fight
good
for
fight.
Sure. All right, my man, thank you so much. 718, you're live.
Good evening, Eric nice and Joe. I just got to get
What's
myself on
brother?
Speaker real quick because I got to come in loud and clear. This one, super crystal clear. You know, this is a radio show. You got to make sure you guys check it out. On demand, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all your podcast sources. My brothers Eric and Joe are two of the best out there doing it. Now it's my
turn.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Listen, guys, I was at the fight Saturday night. I had a really good time. But I got to ask Eric a question. Eric, the savant, the boxing aficionado that he is, what is a trainer supposed to do during the co-feature, after the co-feature, with his fighter, you know, before the fighter gets out there into the ring? Riddle me this, riddle me that.
Joe, you want to take this one?
I actually asked
what is
you,
the
Eric.
Trainer
but,
supposed to do?
Yeah.
What
is the trainer
supposed
you,
to do during the prelim?
Yeah, so the fighter is in the dressing room, right?
He's supposed to warm him up, run him through drills. Run him through drills.
Right. Little pad
nice
work,
sweat
right?
Going. Yep. Yes.
Sweat going. Maybe
yep.
A little motivational talk,
yep.
Right? Sounded good?
Yeah.
Okay, do you guys want to know what Teofimo Sr. was doing? And I have video footage of this, by the way.
What was he doing?
I got exclusive video footage on Maestro Boxing, which I will share again on Mano a Mano Live with Kenny T Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. I already shared it earlier, but Teofimo was having a dance-off in the ring. DJ was playing some tunes. Teofimo, it was literally the Thanksgiving weekend parade of 8 or was it 7 title belts. I've lost count. Right after the co-feature finish in Ogawa won, they were all in the ring showing off the belts, and Teofimo Sr. was dancing. The dance-off continued up until the moment of George Gamboses Jr.'s walkout. And Teofimo, as you saw, came from the back into the main area of the theater, walked down the ring or the path to the ring, and entered the ring all by himself. Now, that to me is symptomatic of what is wrong with Teofimo's team right now, the takeover, which got taken over yesterday. It's the father. You know, it's the reverse of Porter versus Crawford. It's the reverse of Kenny Porter, Sean Porter. Where was the preparation? He was boastful about his plan. Ah, we're going to walk that motherfucker down. We're going to walk him down and knock him out. I'm giving away the plan. Okay. Well, what was plan B when the first round knockout didn't happen? What was plan C when the second round knockdown didn't happen? What was plan D when the third round knockdown didn't happen? And I can go all the way through the alphabet, but I don't really need to. The fact is, they had no plan for his in-and-out movement. They had no plan for his ability to manage distance and timing and his ability, honestly, to demonstrate a great chin and take Teofimo's best shots. And the fact is, he wasn't even warming up his son before the fight started. I want to hear what you guys have to say about what I said. And trust me, it's the truth. I have the video.
You know, I think everybody's different. I mean, listen, man, I think everybody's different in the way they get warmed up or what they're comfortable with. And maybe this is what they were comfortable with. I tell you what, I'm not real comfortable with that. You know what I mean? I mean, like, it's one of those things, but I don't train him. If this is what he was doing before the Lomachenko fight, what can you say? You know what I mean?
Well,
it was
Eric, let me clarify.
Let me clarify.
Junior and Senior were not dancing together. Junior was in the dressing room without Senior. Senior was dancing with the title belts, playing into the crowd, while Junior was way back in the dressing room by himself, just to clarify.
Oh, jeez. You know, I tell you what, it's just, you know, we were talking about the advice that he gave in the corner earlier, and the advice was just bad. I mean, there's no other way. And they didn't have a plan A, B, or C. They just, his only, you said, what does he do when that first round knockout doesn't come? Nothing. He fights the second round the same exact way, and then the third round, there was no head movement. There was no instruction. There was no adjustments being made. It was awful. And that being said, he almost got him out of there in like the 10th round. He had Gamboses almost out. And I think he just ran out of gas. But
yeah,
he had Gamboses just out. A couple of more shots, he's done.
Couldn't finish.
Yeah, he just could not. Yeah, he was dead tired.
Right.
Yeah.
He was breathing heavy around that third or fourth round. You could see him just, you know, really like pushing up and everything like that. You could tell he was spent, man.
Yeah.
No,
that's
it was.
That's what I say. I'm not a big fan of fathers training their sons. I'm not a big fan of family in that corner.
Well, I mean, I think generally that the ball was just dropped. I mean, they were totally overlooking Gamboses. Not that I'm saying that he would have won had they not overlooked him, but they were focused on the whole undisputed versus undisputed debate. They were focused on Josh Taylor and talking about him. And, you know, I won't even say the kind of things they were calling Josh Taylor, the dad was. When they had pertinent business at 135 pounds, so look, it's tough out there. And what I got to say about 140, there's no clear path to a title for him at 140. I mean, think about the names. You got Progre, you got Ramirez, you got Taylor, obviously. You've got Zepeda, you know. You've got you've got top names out there that don't even have titles, you know, that would be in, that would be really hard fights for him. So, you know, I'm going to leave it at that and enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you as always. One of the best shows out there. Always a pleasure to call in and talk to you guys. You guys take care.
Thank you so much, my
brother.
Thanks,
Maestro.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Let's do, I tell you what, we're going to do one more call, then we're going to go to Chandler M and do the game. 804, and then we'll come back to the phones. 804, you're live.
Back on real quick.
Yes.
What do you got, Corey?
Oh, is that Corey?
Stop ordering,
hang on.
Stop ordering food.
Hey,
stop ordering food and
drive-thru. How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Hello?
What's going on, man?
Hey,
are you getting
Eric
a Happy Meal?
What's going on?
I heard, brother. I heard you had Cambosis with a split decision last night. Is that accurate?
Oh, come on, man. Nah, man. That's not accurate, man. Nah.
It's what I heard.
Nah, man. Man, you know, can't listen, man. You know, salute to everybody in the chat. Salute to everybody that was on the panel. I was on the show earlier with B, man. I think we had an awesome breakdown. Everybody had their own opinion. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, the more I think about this, you know, I feel like a lot of it has to do, and I'm not making excuses for Lopez at all, but a lot of it has to do with his family life and what's going on in his family life, you know? You got to understand right now, okay, he had so much going on leading up into this fight that a lot of people don't even know. He broke up with his wife leading up into this fight, okay? Remember, this is the same wife where he was at odds with his whole family with being with in the Nakatani fight that I went and I was on press row. I had media credentials for that fight. I asked him in an interview and I said, "Hey, is your family issues bothering you?" He said, "Yes, man. Nobody has any idea what I've been going through." He said that verbatim. Okay? And Joe Abib made a good point earlier on the show. He said that, you know, Teofimo Lopez said that, you know, when they were doing the 24/7, they said, "Hey, you know, this is my you know, I think it's his son's room." And he said, "Look, man, you know, I'm not with my daughter. I'm not," he said, "yeah, and I'm not with my wife anymore." Isn't that what he said, Joe?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
That's crazy. There was a lot of family turmoil with his wife and his parents, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to make any excuses for, you know, for the Lopez fight and what we've seen in the Lopez fight. I truly believe if all of the circumstances were right, you know, I think he'll have a good shot at winning a rematch. But the only thing is, will his body deplete him again? He said in a post-fight interview when asked, he said, you know, "What's next?" pretty much. And he said, "I'm going to go spend some time with my family." But he said, "I've been wanting to get out of this 135-pound weight class 2 years ago," and I quote. And so I'm like, if you felt that way, why didn't you drop the belt already? It's one of those things, you guys. Yet, you know, I feel like he just got caught up and, you know, having these belts, knowing that that weight was going to really kill him. You know, I heard that this was one of the worst, one of the most strenuous weight cuts that Teofimo Lopez had to do. I truly believe he can't make 135 anymore. I just think it's that bad. And I'm going to tell you guys, I've seen the same exact situation happen with Jojo Diaz when he fought Gary Russell Jr. at the MGM Grand. I was live at that fight as well, media row again, and I was like, you know, what's going on? Jojo Diaz was late to the weigh-in because he was in the sauna an hour before the official weigh-in, okay, trying to get that weight off, okay? The weight at 135 for some of these bigger guys, like, you know, Devin Haney and, you know, and Lopez, I just really feel like, you know, they got to move up, you know, especially Teofimo Lopez. I feel like, you know, he really wanted to be at 140 this whole time anyways, but he said in the beginning, 2 years ago, he said he was going to go to 135 and get some belts and then move up to 140. But he said that 2 years ago, Eric and Beeb. You know, that was 2 years ago. You're a human. Your body changes. You know, I think Teofimo Lopez could be at 147 and no problem, you know, and not too much longer, you know. But I just truly believe in this specific fight, Eric and Beavs, I feel like, you know, kudos to Camboso. Australia has a beautiful champion. He's awesome. He was very respectful after he lost that fight. I mean, after he won that fight, and Teofimo wasn't. Teofimo said he, you know, he thought he won the fight. He was making all these excuses. And, I mean, yes, I understand that. But, you know, George Camboso lost his grandfather leading up into this fight. So you got to say, you can't say that one is going through more than the other, because that's a devastating loss, you know. And he said, even in a post-fight interview, he couldn't grieve the way he wanted to. So he's going to take time to grieve. You know, he was very close to his grandfather, and this was a lifelong dream they have together. You know, he just lost him about 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. So, you know, moving forward, I think Gary Antoine Russell was, did pretty good. But like Eric said, you know, he's that style over there at the Russell's gym. Mind you, all four of their brothers train together, and their fifth brother does the mitts. And his Gary Russell's father is not in good health. So, you know, I don't know what's going on at their camp. They're very enclosed. You know, they don't let a lot of media over there. And, you know, but I know their training is very, very strenuous, because I have been there. But I'm going to let you guys know this, man, before I head out, man. You know, moving forward, the only fight that I want to see in boxing, you guys, is Errol Spence Jr. versus Terrence Crawford. We got to push for this fight, you guys. We both have media outlets, and I feel like everybody needs to push for this fight, man. This is the fight that we all wanted, man. And I just feel like, do not rob us like the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. We do not want to see that shit that long, that much later. We want to see that fight now. I have a media outlet. You guys have a media outlet. Coily Boxing on YouTube, man. Let's push for the Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford, you guys. Love the channel. Love the vibe. You guys have a great week. Let's get it. Banger, baby.
All
nice
right.
Season.
There you go.
Banger. Right.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you so much, my man. I don't think that's the biggest fight to make. I think Charlo and Android was the biggest fight to make.
Jesus Christ. That dude is a trip.
Twitch and Ash, thank you so much. We appreciate it. He said this caller is talking about stress for Theo's family, but Camboso's grandfather died right before the fight, and he was away from his kid for months. Very true, very true. Dalen Chi-Town, thank you, sir. Chi-Town, I guess. Thank you so much. He said banger. Thank you very much, Dale. All right, let's go to 515 here. We're going to go to Chandler M here in just a second. We're going to tell you a little bit about Manscaped, and then we're going to start the game, if that's all right. All right, so, guys, this is what we were giving away in the game. Manscaped. Shampoo and conditioner 2-in-1. Beav, you can do both with these. I tell you though, everything we buy so far from Manscaped, Beav, has been great, right? Everything you use from Manscaped, love it. I love it. I love it. And this week, no different, Beav. Beav, you know what they got going on, don't you?
We got?
They got Cyber Monday, son. Cyber Monday.
Get 25% off during Manscaped.com's Cyber Monday sale. And save on all Manscaped products like all-in-one grooming kits, skin safe trimmers, and great-smelling formulations. Go to Manscaped.com to get 25% off site-wide plus free shipping.
Free shipping, Beav. Come on, son.
Wow.
Do you know what we're supposed to use, the promo code? Ringside Reporter, son. All one word. But, yeah, in all seriousness, guys, they have a big sale going on. Just use the code Ringside Reporter. That way, you know, we get some credit for it. And, you know, it really does help us out. Believe it or not, it really does help us out. It helps us, you know, hopefully we can continue this into the new year and stuff like that. But we need you guys to purchase. We need you guys to buy, help us out, stuff like that. Listen, it's a give and take, son. That's the way it goes. They're great Christmas presents. I know my two in-laws, this is what they're getting. Listen, if they don't like it, I don't care. All right, this is what you're getting. All right, that's it. Bottom line, your brother, he's getting it. You know what I'm saying? It just is what it is, son. All right? So without any further ado... Without any further ado, Beav, let's bring the man of the hour on. Chandler M., is that you?
I told you, and I told you Camboso was going to win.
All right, so what did you see? All right, I got to know this. What did you see? Was this just a shot in the dark, like you just threw some darts at the wall and said, all right, I think I'm going to take Camboso? Or what did you see in Camboso that you thought was going to give T.O. fits?
What I saw in Kambosos was obviously the dude's always training. He's got a hard drive. But what I saw in Teofimo Lopez, and I see it with pretty much anybody that has their father as a trainer that has a loud mouth on him. Like same with like Devin Haney's dad, Teofimo Lopez Sr. When you start speaking for your kid like that and what they're going to do to that opponent, it's a red flag. I didn't like seeing it because I follow all of them on like Instagram and stuff. I didn't like what Teofimo was doing outside the ring. He wasn't focused. He was never in. A couple weeks before the fight, he was at Canelo's fight, and he felt the need to go on stage and show all his belts. Canelo didn't want him on stage. Canelo didn't want him even close to being there. It was pretty clear he had an interview about that and just the look on his face. So the dude's just not focused. You know, I don't think he won the first Lomachenko fight. I had Lomachenko winning that, and Lomachenko didn't have one arm. I think he is a ESPN hype job, and he got exposed by the better man on that night. And I don't, and you know, even on that night, I think even if they had a rematch, Kambosos wins it.
You think so? You think that, Beav, do you think Kambosos wins a rematch?
I think he would. And I'll tell, yeah, that's the key thing right there. Chan Lam just mentioned it. I don't think he can make 135, Teofimo Lopez. I think he kills himself to make 135. He's not going to fight at 135 his next fight. He's going right up to 140. Wow.
Yeah, that's what his dad said, too. There was going to be no rematch. And his dad said he didn't care because he thought he won the fight, so it didn't matter. Okay.
Well, his dad's,
and there was
his
some,
dad's delusional. And, you know, there's
yeah, there was some confusion
like,
yesterday on the announcement of the winner. Did you see this, Beav? When the guy said, and still undefeated, I guess they thought that the other guy wasn't undefeated as well. And so I guess the ref raised Teofimo's arm or whatever, and that's what he's referring to when he said the ref raised my hand. Son, he made a mistake.
I don't like when they say and still undefeated when both guys are undefeated. There's no need to say that.
No, I don't like it either. Yeah, I don't like it either.
I'm gonna write a petition. Get rid of that.
Right now, you know, like they said Teofimo was the next big thing. They say Shakur Stevenson is. They say Devin Haney. None of those guys are it. They're all going to fall off. They're all going to have, you know, become the next Adrian Broner. There's only one person out right now that when Canelo's gone is going to become the next big face. And you guys like him, and I do too. It's Boots Ennis. He is the only person He has good work ethic. He's mean. He fights smart. He has a good trainer. He doesn't have a big toxic energy in his life like all the other people do. And, you know, once Canelo's gone and he retires in the next couple of years, he's going to be the one that becomes the face. He beats Terrence Crawford. He beats everybody at 147, and he can go up to 154 and make waves.
All right, everybody out there, make sure to hit the like button in the chat if you're listening.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
There you go. Chandler M., you've earned a shot today at the big prize, our Manscaped Essential Package, which includes a two-for-one shampoo and conditioner. Are you ready to play?
Let's play.
All right. All right, there it is. I'm going to give you five questions. The
I don't
questions
know, I don't
have
know if
to
I'm
do with
win,
the Olympics. Do your best. The questions are about the Olympics. All right, Olympic boxing. That's right. My favorite boxing is the Olympic. I wait every 4 years. I wait for this and wait for it. I love it. All right, I just love Olympic boxing.
You have no choice. You have no choice but to wait for it. It's only going to happen 4 years.
I know, right? I know. All right, first question. Who has the most gold medals in Olympic boxing history? I'm going to give you three names. You pick the right one. Laszlo Papp of Hungary, Zhu Shiming of China, or Sugar Ray Leonard of the United States?
I have no idea. I don't follow Olympic boxing too much, but I'm going to go with –
I don't know, the first guy you said.
The first guy I said was Laszlo Papp. What is it?
Yeah, let's go Laszlo.
Laszlo or Sugar Ray Leonard, which one?
Laszlo.
Beeb, you are going to keep score here. He says it's Laszlo Papp out of Hungary. Beeb, how many gold medals did Laszlo Papp out of Hungary win?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Three. Zushimi.
1-2.
Sugar Ray Leonard, 1-1.
One.
Point on the board for Chandler M. There you go.
What a guess.
You got to get 3 of 5.
When this kid's running hot, he's running hot.
Who was the last fighter from the UK to win super heavyweight gold? Was it Anthony Joshua? Was it Audley Harrison? Or was it Joe Joyce?
Joe Joyce.
Joe Joyce is incorrect.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Please.
Audley Harrison is incorrect. Anthony Joshua won the super heavyweight in 2012.
Yeah, but that guy's trash.
There you go.
Doesn't even count.
Anthony Joshua's trash. Beeb, he's 1-1 now.
Yeah.
He's 1-1. Saul Averroes, thank you so much. He said T.O. taking body shots from the mountain crushed his future. There you go. That's right. He was taking body shots from the mountain, wasn't he?
Dumbest thing ever.
It was. I remember that. That's right.
Yeah, let's get my ribs broken before a fight.
Yeah, that guy was hitting them hard, too.
Oh, my God.
A moron. That's right. I forgot about that.
I'm sorry.
All right. What country was the fighter who beat Floyd Mayweather in the Olympics? What country was he from? In the 1996 Olympics, the fighter that beat Floyd Mayweather was from what country? Cuba, Bulgaria, or the Ukraine?
God, we'll go with Ukraine.
The Ukraine.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Please.
The correct answer.
Bulgaria.
Serafim Toradov was the last person to beat Mayweather in the Olympics. He was from Bulgaria. All right, Beeb.
These are tough-ass questions, bro.
These are very tough questions. Beeb.
I noticed the people you don't like, you always pull these tough questions. Like, you wanted me to lose to Nacho.
I wanted you to use and Nacho somehow knew all those questions. And somehow Nacho knew all those questions, huh?
He was being text the answers.
He knew all those questions. How about that?
Nacho was being text the answers. Everyone knows.
You know what's funny? I thought these questions were a little bit too easy. I did.
Yeah, because you looked up the answers to them. Of course you would think they were easy.
I knew the answers to them.
Jesus Christ.
All right, I'm going to give you an easy one. Now, you have two. He's 1-2, Beeb. He misses this question.
He's out.
He makes this question. Chandler M is alive, and he's kicking. Who was the first American to win the heavyweight gold and the heavyweight championship? Joe Frazier, George Foreman, or Muhammad Ali?
Muhammad Ali.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Please.
What?
Joe Frazier.
I follow zero.
No way.
Joe Frazier was the first
Joe
one.
He won a gold medal.
Light heavyweight. Muhammad Ali. No, Muhammad Ali won it first, but Muhammad Ali won it at light heavyweight, then moved up to heavyweight.
Oh, that's right, Eric.
He was the first heavyweight
to
win it.
These are fucking trick questions. What a setup this is.
What a setup.
What a fucking
This was a straight setup. You're giving Nacho setup. Questions like who was the person?
I'm giving Nacho questions.
Ever since Chandler M told you he had a conversation with somebody while he was taking a
Saul Alvarez knew it. Saul Alvarez knew it, son. He knew it.
Ever since Chamberlain told you, Eric, that he was having a conversation in the bathroom while he was taking a piss, you never freaking...
I completely forgot about that. I got to be honest with you. I completely forgot about that.
You've never given him the light of day ever since.
I've never given him the light of day.
Eric gets all, he gets all sensitive because I pick Cambosis to make him look like an idiot. I told him Ruiz was going to beat his butt buddy Joshua. I don't know why he's got an infatuation with Joshua on that one. The guy's holding a grudge.
Well, I tell you what, Given Quality for Life appreciates me because he said those questions were actually great questions. Never heard anyone use those before, so there you go. How about that?
He doesn't usually like you. He's giving you a compliment.
See, he's being
rigged.
Fair.
What a setup that was.
You and Beeb, man. Jeez.
I didn't want to play this car, but, you know, it's because I'm Mexican.
Hey, that's all right. At least you made him throw a pie in his face today.
That's the biggest prize of the day, I'll tell you that. That's the biggest prize of the day, making me take that pie. Again, if you guys want to see that pie, go to @Wingside73 on Twitter. I've got the video posted up there. It's real quick. It's only about 30 seconds long or something like that. It's real quick. So there you go. Chandler M., listen, you didn't win the big prize today.
Oh, well.
But you're on the mantle, son. You're on the mantle. All right, man.
You know, when Robbie did the game, he made sure the questions were easy because he knew Robbie would cry.
Oh, man.
Going to crush Robbie's ego.
Crush Robbie's ego.
He would have been in tears.
JC said, I don't even know the answers. They're talking about me. He said Eric doesn't even know the answers.
Google's all the answers.
I'm telling you. That's why. I knew the answer. I thought it was easy. I thought that you
had the answers written down in front of you. Stop acting like Einstein.
Okay, so the tough one I thought was the last one, which I won't give you. I can use that in another one. That was a tough one, I thought. The American heavyweight was a trick question. The Floyd Mayweather, but you knew the Floyd Mayweather one.
I did.
The last fighter from the UK to win super heavyweight gold, we knew that one. And Laszlo Papp, that one we knew too.
I didn't know that one.
There's only three. There's Felix Stevenson. Felix Savone and Laszlo Papp are the only three guys to win three gold medals, and they're the in the Olympics. They're all heavyweights.
Eric.
Yes.
I just got a text from Robbie. He goes like this.
What do you say?
Stop saying all that crap. I don't have an ego, and I'm not going to cry. I handled that game with no problem, man.
What?
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
We're joking, my man. We're joking.
I'm not joking now. Now I'm serious.
Oh, stop it, dude.
I meant that shit.
Stop.
I'm just
What's the matter with you?
Fuck out of here.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Oh good
oh,
Lord.
Shit.
All right. So that game was brought to you by Manscaped. Remember, 20% off with the promo code Ringside Reporter. Go there tomorrow, shop for Cyber Monday and use the code Ringside Reporter and get all your stuff. They got a crazy deal going on there now. So go check it out. All right, guys, it'll really help us out. Appreciate it. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Let's see here. 312, you're live.
Yo.
Fight Doctor.
Fight Doctor's in the house of Rick James status, as always.
Fight Doctor, what's happening?
Fight Doctor, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
Good.
So I just want to make a quick comment about what happened this weekend with Lopez. And I'll be honest. I think that Lopez is pretty much done. Now, I know that might sound crazy, but I think Lopez, and I understand that boxing is a business, but it's still a fight. And you have to approach it as if it's a fight. And I think what we saw this weekend was a pair of a team in Team Lopez who over-exaggerated the business of boxing and underemphasize the importance of being ready for a fight, because you're only as good as your last fight. And, you know, Lopez did not look particularly inspiring in his last fight. And above and beyond that, now his boxing business is in shambles. They really needed to win. And now they have to go crawling back to top rank with their tails tucked behind, between their legs, begging and on their knees, going back to bow down. And I'm sure that, you know, when they go meet with top rank, you know, their expectations are, you know, let's just say, I don't think that Bob is going to have anything, you know, particularly endearing to say to Team Lopez, considering how they treated top rank throughout this whole ordeal, you know. And it's unfortunate. But I think sometimes you need to, while I do understand boxing is a business, you still have to win your next fight. And, you know, I think Team Lopez, they really need to sit down and reevaluate and reassess and, you know, put things in a proper perspective.
I would go along with that. I tell you what, I think that Lopez has got a real problem here. And I think they, now listen, it could be just that outward machismo going on from him and his father. And maybe they hash it out behind closed doors. I don't think that's the case, though. I think they're kind of both cut from the same cloth. I don't think they lost that. I don't think they think that they lost that fight last night. Hence, I don't think they think they have anything to improve on. They think it was just a weight issue. And it was more than that. It was more than a weight issue. It was an activity issue. It was an you underestimated this guy's issue. There's a lot there to process. There's a lot there to break down. It's not just as cut and dry as they think it is.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, I clearly saw it was a close competitive fight. I have no problem with the decision. I mean, when a guy knocks you down in the first round, obviously there's something wrong. You're supposed to be the best 135-pounder in the world, and this guy literally comes out of down under nowhere and puts you down in the first round, and by the time the fight is over, your face is a bloody mess, and somehow you think you won. Yeah, Team Lopez, in my mind, is seriously divorced from reality. And they just need to have a come-to-Jesus moment, reassess, and go back to the drawing board and just reconnect with what is really going on and reconnect and accept what happened over the weekend. Accept your role in what happened over the weekend and all the mistakes that you made leading up to what happened over the weekend.
I think that's the correct thing to say, man, because this guy needs to do a lot of soul searching right now, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. They didn't sound like they were willing to do that last night during their post-fight interviews.
No.
Yeah, and that's the interview that I heard from Lopez Sr., he's talking about pay-per-view fights, this, that, and other. Dude, who's going to fight you on pay-per-view? Right? I mean, who?
Right?
You have nothing. You have nothing. If anything, you need to be trying to get
I
want to
call Bob
back
Arum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good. I think that's a good thing because. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Fight Doctor.
Yeah, no, my apologies. I just wanted to call in and chime in for a second. That's all.
All right, man. We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. He's got a good take. He's right, and you know whether Lopez is finished or not, I think that's neither here nor there. I think the bigger issue.
Sure, but
I think he could be in trouble if he doesn't correct his issues.
Yeah.
I think he needs to get rid of his father as a trainer, and I don't know that that's really an option for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know. All right, let's go to 818, then we're going to go to Georgie. 818,
hello.
Live.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, man, I just wanted to
say,
Eddie,
what's up, man? Eddie.
Hey, man, I watched the Figueroa versus Fulton fight, and I thought Figueroa clearly won, man. Fulton had no power or not enough pop to back up Figueroa. Figueroa basically walked through him, in my opinion. And, you know, and for the type of fighter he was described as, Fulton really struggled. And in my opinion, I think that was a bad decision. And as for the Teal fight, I had it a lot closer than most people, but I didn't think Teal won. I just find it interesting that it's been a long time in boxing since you've seen a hometown fighter not get the decision. It was weird. I don't know. It tripped me out.
I thought Teal was going to get the decision. Didn't you think they were going to announce him the winner, Eric, when they were announcing the scores last night?
I did until I heard the last score. I got a little nervous when I heard the last score because I heard the 114-113, he had it, but the 115-111 was a pretty wide score, I thought. And I was, or 115-112 maybe, and then the other one was 115-111.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little bit wide. I was like, wow. I said the other judge had it wide for the other guy too, so I don't know. I thought that they were going to give it to him, but I wasn't 100% sure either. They did the right thing.
I thought
they did the right thing.
Yeah, I didn't think Teal won, but I found it interesting that it's really been a long time since you've seen a situation like that, you know? I don't know if that makes sense. Because usually when you get a fight like that, they give the hometown guy the 8-4 decision, you know? Or like a one draw and 2 8-4s or something. And it was interesting. Cambosis was able to get it. So I'm wondering if it wasn't close at all and I need to rewatch it or, you know?
I had it wide, bro. I had it 116 and 110 for Camposis. So
I had it 114
really?
And 112 for Teo, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I
actually had it the other way, 114.
I didn't have
for
it. I didn't have it close, but I mean, some people did. I mean, what are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I had Steve Fulton winning that fight, 115 and 113. I thought that was a real close fight.
And I didn't score.
Really?
I didn't score that fight, but I thought that Figueroa may have edged it. I thought the Figueroa.
I think it could have gone either way.
That
was
a tough
fight to
score. Yeah.
I thought it was close enough that it could have gone either way. To be fair.
Yeah, the only problem I had were the 8-4 scorecards. I felt like I don't know. I've watched Fulton a couple times, and he always kind of gets a couple weird wide scorecards because his fights are actually a lot closer than BoxRec says, you know?
I thought Steve Fulton was really doing well with his counterpunching. And like you said, he was punching in between Figueroa's shots. I thought he was landing some clean, sharp shots myself.
Yeah, he was, but the issue was Figueroa was just walking through him, and every time he got him against the ropes, you know, he was able to hurt him, in my opinion. Or it looked like he was hurting him.
Yeah. I didn't think he was landing, though. I thought Steve Fulton was blocking the shots and he was countering them in between the shots. But, again, you know, some of those rounds were tough to score. So it's hard to argue. It's hard to argue against what you're saying. I mean, it all depends on what you like.
Yeah, I get that. Thank you for letting me, you know, just say it. Thank you.
No problem, bro.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. Call anytime.
Absolutely, man.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
From Rikers, Georgie.
Hey, yo! What's happening, people? What's going on,
B? What's happening?
Georgie.
Yo, what's
going on,
everybody? With the scorecards, bro? You got some bogus-ass scorecards there. George won that shit clearly, 9-3.
The judges thought so, too, so what does it matter?
I don't know. We got to stop these mirages. Yo, listen. there was somebody who did a fucking super chat, and he said that there was a lot of emotions in the fight that George wasn't going through a lot of shit with the death of his grandfather and his kid being born and the whole thing. There wasn't T alone going through shit, you know? So therefore, maybe that makes a difference there. But at the same time, I gotta see how could he. I mean, are you guys telling me that we really see a miracle like that? That this man's spirit carried the whole thing, or it could be that Theo wasn't really like a little bit of fucking, I don't know, weapons of mass destruction that we never found. We don't torture people. We use interrogation techniques and shit like that. Are we being deceived?
I don't think I'm following him. What are you talking about? What is he talking
about?
This man cannot come from Australia and did what I did just based on his spirit. He cannot be this huge underdog. It has to be some type of fucking propaganda that they've been wrong on us here, baby. That's what I'm saying. You want to call it crazy, call it crazy. But there's no way that this man just came out of nowhere.
Georgie, do you believe the earth is flat?
No, I believe in deception. I believe that people fucking put people on shame map for money. I believe that. I know where I am on the world. I don't know what the fuck you guys believe there. But there is no way this man came out of nowhere, baby. You remember what the fuck was in the UK when Lara B fucking, what was it, Josh?
Yeah, Josh Warrington, yeah.
Baby, we seen these type
Josh
of deceptions
and
mirages. Yo, look at Kiko. Didn't Kiko Ortiz, didn't fucking beat fucking Kick Callahan, silly? Oh, man,
yes.
Kiko Ortiz. Man, I'm about to retire. And you guys don't see it. That's what I'm saying, baby. How much is it that the fucking Tio had a bad night to? He wasn't really what we thought he was. What the fuck, nigga?
I mean,
anyways, everybody support this channel. Donate. I got to go. I'm outie.
Georgie.
Oh, God.
He's got to be my favorite caller.
Yeah, you can have him.
Oh, my God. 951. I believe it's Riverside, if I'm not mistaken. 951, you're live. Then again, maybe you're not. All right, 951, going once, twice, you're out. Should I play the Canelo? I should play the Canelo sound effect. 805, you're live.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Nacho.
Nacho.
Yeah, he was talking trash about you again, man.
Never
not. Yeah. Talking trash about you again. He put the poor mouth on you, Nacho. Let me tell
Never
you that
Nacho.
Right now.
You're the best, Nacho.
Eric, all I gotta say is 2-0. That's all I gotta say.
2-0. What are you talking about? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, he blasted you twice, Beef.
He doesn't have title belt, he's got t-shirts.
Let me ask you, Nacho, let me ask you. Could you have passed the quiz today, the game show? Because you could have got that, right?
Yeah, but I'm sure Beeb would have accused me of cheating again, as usual.
Yeah, you know how Beeb is. You know how Beeb is. Sore loser, baby.
Eric, he's on his house phone. Then he's got his cell phone Googling the answers. You can't see this? You can't put it together?
Who has a house phone anymore?
I was going to say, who calls from a house phone?
You
have a house phone?
No. You got a house phone? You lying.
Stay right there. I'm going to go get it.
Go get He's going to go get it. He left. Is he going to take it off the wall that he's going to get disconnected?
Oh, man.
How'd you have a fight score last night, Nacho, the Teofimo?
I had it 15 to 11. Like one of the judges had it right there. I thought that he pulled away. I thought he pulled away for the most part in the middle of the fight. Like I didn't have Teo winning too many of the rounds in the middle of the fight. I mean, really the only thing that made it close was I thought he won three of the last four to kind of make it a little bit closer. But other than that, I thought Cambosos pretty much dominated that fight after round one. So, you know, I honestly think I have to disagree with Fight Doctor. I don't know about this whole deal about how the kid is ruined. The kid is 24 years old. He's going to be back. They're going to Top Rank will rehab him. They'll get him a couple of fights, you know, at 140 to get him acclimated. And then eventually he's going to get a shot at one of those belts. If either if Josh Taylor is still there or if Josh Taylor moves up, they're going to maneuver him. To get him in the title contention at 140. He's not ruined like he was saying. It's not like he took a bad beating from Cambosos. He lost a tough, close fight, but he didn't take like a beating like a, you know, like an Arturo Gatti type beating that's going to shorten his career. I think he just lost, and I think he completely underestimated Cambosos. And, you know, he lost to the better man last night. That's all it was, but Lopez will be back. They'll figure out a way to rehab him. As far as Cambosos, I'm curious to see what they do with him next now that he has all the belts. Of course, all these guys. Yeah, of course, all these guys are out here throwing their names into the ring now.
What happened? His promoter is? You know who his promoter is?
Yeah.
DiBella.
Eddie Hearn.
Lou DiBella.
Oh.
DiBella.
Oh, wait, yeah. You're right. Yeah. No, you guys are right. Yeah, I forgot.
You're always right, son. What are you talking about?
Lou DiBella hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, he did. He won the sweepstakes big time, didn't he?
Yeah.
Nacho,
sure.
Did you ever hear of the bat phone? Did you ever hear of the bat phone?
This fool over here, Nacho.
He went and knocked on his
80-year-old neighbor's door and said, let me borrow your phone real quick. He's like, let me borrow your phone real quick.
This is the beat phone.
That came out in like 82. Get out of here.
Oh, my God. Is it a rotary phone?
It should be. It's just about a rotary.
Oh,
so
he's going to
use that for emergency. He's going to pick it up. It's going to be out of batteries. Get out of here.
He can hear it.
And then just real quick, the other fight that was on that card, Ogawa looked good last night. I can't believe those judges, though, were seriously, if he doesn't get those knockdowns towards the end of the fight, that poor guy would have lost that fight. I thought he was winning that
really?
Fight easily, and I was, yeah. I thought he was winning that fight.
Wide, bro.
I had him winning that fight easily, and the fact that he needed two knockdowns just to get the decision, I thought that was insane. I was like,
wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, like, that's
I
crazy
didn't
to
that.
Me.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, if he doesn't get the two knockdowns, babe, he gets robbed, and the other dude wins. So I was totally shocked that, you know, he needed those just to win. I thought he had dominated that fight for the most part, so I couldn't believe he needed that just to win. With the other card, I disagree with Figueroa after the fight saying that he thought he got robbed. I thought the fight was close. It could have gone either way. I had it scored 7-5 for him, but I didn't have an issue with Fulton getting the fight. My only issue was just the fact that the judges scored at 8-4. I thought that was a little disrespectful to Figueroa. I thought Figueroa had more than a few moments in that fight where, you know, he hurt Fulton and he had him backing up and he had him trapped in the corner and taking some legit punishment. And, you know, he came up short and that sucks for Figueroa. I mean, they asked him if he wanted a rematch. I don't think he's going to stick around at 22. He looks like he needs to go up to 26. Yeah. So I think he's going to go up to 26. Yeah. Then I wouldn't mind seeing now that Fulton's kind of considered the man right now, I wouldn't mind seeing him either against Danny Roman or against Akhmadaliyev, either one of those two guys next. I would definitely like to see him try to see if he could unify that division because I think those two fights would be really good for him, especially Roman.
Well, Roman called him out last night, so – I don't think Raheem Salim is getting the next shot. I know he was under the impression that he is, but I don't think he is. I mean, what do I know? But based on his performance last night, I don't know that he's getting
He ain't going to get the next shot.
I don't think so either.
No.
Man.
Yeah.
He struggled last night against that guy.
Yeah, he struggled against Baez last night. I thought he should have beat Baez easily, and Baez actually gave him a really tough fight. And then
I had a close.
Yeah. And then the other fight, too, Gary Russell's brother, man, I honestly thought that dude, I can't remember his name right now, his opponent was game, and he gave him a tough fight yesterday, and I was a little surprised that Russell got that fight. I thought they could have scored it for his opponent because I thought his opponent was winning the majority of the rounds towards the end, but maybe the judges felt like he dominated the first half of the fight, I guess, and that's why he ended up winning that fight. But his opponent was tough, and he wasn't able to get rid of him, and he took some shots. So, I mean, I'm curious to see what they do with him because they don't have a whole lot of guys at 118 that he could fight. I mean, maybe they can do the rematch with Emmanuel Rodriguez, because I know he is on that side of the street. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him take on that guy again, since the first fight ended on a headbutt and we didn't get to see what would happen. But yeah, I'm just kind of, I'm not sold on him yet. I still think he needs a lot of work before he becomes a legit contender at 118. And yeah, that's pretty much my call, guys.
All right, Nacho, we're going to get running, man. Right, thank you so much. Yep. We appreciate it. Let's do a little bit of the news and everything like that, and then we're going to come back to the phones. All right, so let's see here. Let's see the upcoming fights here, fights coming up. We got December 4th, which I believe is Saturday, in Las Vegas on DAZN. Devin Haney versus Joseph Diaz Jr., 12 rounds for Haney's WBC lightweight title. No, this is supposed to be Ryan Garcia versus Joseph Diaz, and Ryan Garcia pulled out for whatever reason he pulled out of. Your girl on the undercard, Beef, Jessica McCaskill versus Victoria Bustos, 12 rounds for McCaskill's WBC, WBA, WBO, and IBF women's welterweight titles. So I know Beef will be glued to the TV for that one. Let's see here. December 5th, Showtime, pay-per-view, Beef. This is Sunday, pay-per-view. Gervonta Davis versus Isaac Cruz, 12 rounds for Davis's WBA regular lightweight title, his regular lightweight title. Sebastian Fundora versus Sergio Garcia, 12 rounds, WBC junior middleweight title eliminator. Sergey Derevchenko versus Carlos Adames, 10 rounds, middleweights. Eduardo Ramirez versus Miguel Mariaga, 10 rounds, featherweight. Beeb, that undercard is a drizzling you-know-what. It is not good. It is not worth paying for. That main event is not worth paying for. They tried to sell the main event last night for this card off of the Teofimo fight. Did you see that last night? Where somebody was talking, I think it might have been LRB, I'm not 100% sure who it was, but they were trying to sell the fight, saying, hey, look, man, anything can happen. We're talking about Isaac Cruz here, who's a better fighter than Gambosa. It was a nightmare.
They said that Isaac Cruz is a better fighter than Gambosa?
They said they didn't say he was a better fighter. They said he's a game fighter and everything, but they were trying to sell that fact.
Okay.
That was kind of the narrative they were looking to go with there.
Okay.
And that's on pay-per-view on Sunday. Number one, it's on a Sunday, and I don't want to stay up till midnight having to go to work the next day watching a fight. I don't like Sunday fights anyway. But number two, man, it's just not a pay-per-view worthy fight. It's just not.
Yeah, it's not a pay-per-view.
Not at all. Not even a little bit, man. I mean, not even a little bit. So there you go. Given Quality says I'm lying again. Given Quality, are you paying for the fight? Are you paying for that tank fight? That's crazy, man. No way I'd pay for that fight. Leonard's tweet. Oh, Leonard's tweet had nothing to do with the show. Yes, it did. Not the Showtime broadcast, the DAZN broadcast. You bonehead. What are you doing? It absolutely did. All right. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors here. Crawford and Porter. The pay-per-view buys are in here. This was shocking. Shocking.
Very shocking.
135,000 to 190,000. The rumor has it it came in about 180,000 buys. 180,000 buys.
Awful. Maybe lower.
Possibly lower. Yeah, absolutely. But no higher than 180, 190.
No.
Arum claims that Crawford and Josh Taylor would be huge. Not based on these numbers. Not based on these numbers, it's not. How do you make money off of that fight? This is a guy who, you know, listen, man, he can't sell pay. Can't sell pay-per-views here.
I'll tell you this, though. It may not be huge here, but it would do well in the U.K. It would sell out a U.K. stadium, I believe.
Do you think it does better than the gate in Las Vegas?
No. Well, yes. Yes, it could. It could.
I think it does maybe marginally better. Because of the price structure and everything like that,
sure, it
may do marginally better, but it'll do better in England or in Scotland or whatever because they know who Josh Taylor is. Yeah, the UK here is not going to do that well.
The whole UK likes him. So.
Yeah.
And they like Crawford too, so I think it'll do well.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll sell a lot of U.S. pay-per-views, but it'll sell a lot of UK pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So the fight could be lucrative fight.
I wonder how much they make for it, though. You know what I mean? I'm curiosity for me anyway. I would wonder how much Crawford would get for that fight and how much Taylor would get for that fight. Taylor, I think, would be the A side in that fight. No, The fact that it's taking place in, you got to go to the UK to make this happen.
I guess you can make an argument for that.
Yeah, right?
Crazy. It sounds kind of bizarre, but yeah, I guess you can make an argument for that.
Brian Arabali says Josh is massive in the UK. Yeah, he's the business in the UK. And you know what? I believe him. I believe him. But, yeah, those are horrible pay-per-view numbers, man. That's not good. And
yeah.
If Josh Taylor would be the draw on the pay-per-view, I think there's a good chance. I mean, you can make him the A-side here. I really believe that.
I'm not going to argue against that.
Yeah. So there you go. Amir Khan versus Kell Brook is set. The fight looks to take place in February. From what I understand, the fight is made. They're just looking for the date. The date they're trying for is February 19th. Beeb, I cannot be less excited about this fight if I tried. This fight is past its expiration date about 10 years now.
What's the weight class they're going to fight at?
Who cares? I don't know. I didn't even look at it. I really didn't. I don't even know. I would imagine welterweight, but who knows? Well, no. It's got to be 154 at least.
Yeah, I don't think Kell Brook.
Kell Brook can't make 147.
No, he can't do that.
Boxer Girl says that she thinks that Crawford will make a clean break from Arum. Does he make more money? I think he goes like on the one-offs here, but does he make more money fighting like a guy like Keith Thurman or Errol Spence or Josh Taylor? I think Errol Spence is the money fight, so let's leave that one out. But does he make more money fighting guys from the PBC like a Keith Thurman or people like that or a Josh Taylor?
I would say he'd make more money fighting Josh Taylor, to be honest.
I think he might, but I don't know. I don't know. What gets him closer to the Errol Spence? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll do business with the PBC guys, hopefully.
You know, it's funny because, and I've criticized Arum in the past for not making, you know, Crawford a bigger star than he is and everything like that, because he should be huge. But something really stood out to me as he was waiting in the dressing room. They made a big deal about him signing a glove. And they were like, well, Terrence Crawford doesn't give autographs. And then that just really kind of sat with me because I'm like, well, if he doesn't really give autographs, if he's not known for signing gloves and autographs and everything like that, then how do you promote this guy?
Yeah,
he's a tough promotion. I mean, he really is. I think it falls on both people, but you pay the promoter, but – that's a tough thing if he's not willing to do his part.
Yeah, he walks to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah.
I like him and everything. I'm not going to say anything bad about
him.
But, you know, I think it's fair to question, you know, the way he promotes himself.
Yeah, I think so. This last one is, this is all over the place, so just try to bear with me here. Alunga Makabu is the guy who's going to fight Canelo next. He's the cruiserweight champion, WBC cruiserweight champion.
Yes.
He's managed by none other than Don King. We'll figure that one out. Alunga Makabu will face, this is a press release from Don King. Makabu will face his mandatory challenger, Tabasso Mchunu, whoever that is, you know. This fight will take place in Warren, Ohio on January 29th. That's Don King's hometown for all of you that don't know. Yes, Don King from Ohio, baby. That's how we do it. Al Haymon from Ohio, baby. That's how we do it. UC. Number 3 ranked team in the country, baby. That's how we do it here. This is all according to Don King, who represents Makabu. The rumor is that Canelo will offer Mchunu a step-aside deal, okay? If the fight goes on January 29th, though, this could really hinder that Canelo fight. Canelo's team has said we've already got, you know, for May 7th is when we're fighting, so if the Makabu fight falls through, we'll fight somebody else. Listen, Makabu's an absolute idiot to let this fight happen. You know, to top it all off, Don King said that Canelo would be ringside for this fight. Take it for what it's worth. Last card Don King promoted was in January, and it was that one Stiverne fight with Trevor Bryan, which almost didn't even come off. I mean, it was like, given quality, said Canelo won't be at ringside, book it, you think? You know, this is coming from Don King, so again, who knows? Let me tell you what, man, it's... If he lets this fight happen, if he lets this fight happen and lets his big payday go, this is bad business all the way around. Why wouldn't Don King just say, hey, let's just fight Canelo? That's the bigger money fight. That makes absolutely zero sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it.
Don King is 90, you know, and he's been in the business for a lot longer than I have. So I don't know, man. That's just a weird animal. All right, let's go back to the phones real quick. Baltimore, 443, you're live.
Hey, how you doing, man? It's Troy from Baltimore.
Troy, how's it going?
What's happening, man? How you doing, brother?
Hey, good, good.
Yes, sir.
Good. I was not.
Can hear you.
I was not surprised or upset about that fight last night at all. I saw it coming. I was just can't really say I was upset about it. It's not upset to me. And then how he handled himself after the fight, that's even worse. You know, that's even worse. And then number two. There's no room for him to throw a fight or rematch because he said it. I've been struggling to make this weight for 2 years. So why did you sit there for 2 years and struggle? See what I'm saying? You could have moved up already.
I agree.
What actually stops you from moving up? What? Your father? I mean, come on, man. At certain points, there's this thing called tough love, and you have to say, okay, I love you, but you have to step aside and let me handle my own career. Because you're not doing anything for me right now, okay? And if he doesn't do that, he's going to become a footnote or just a trivia question years from now on Jeopardy. You know, who was Teofimo Lopez or whatever? And how do they do it? They actually give you the answer first. They'll say Teofimo Lopez, and then the answer will be, you know, what could have been. I just, you know, the Figueroa fight, I had Figueroa win.
So you think moving forward that his career is probably going to take a downward spiral?
If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get the same results that you're going to get. So my answer to your question is yes. Just like, okay, you're in a bad marriage, but you stay there. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to get better?
It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. And look, it's the last thing.
I don't have any experience with that, but I'm going to assume it will get worse.
That's because you don't need these. But I got a question for you, right, since you like trivia. Who is the only five-time heavyweight champion? Yes, I said five-time heavyweight champion.
It was Holyfield, wasn't it?
Ben Holyfield.
No, he listed as four, but that's the correct answer. He actually won the title.
No, he won five times.
He's listed as four because they don't count.
Oh, he's listed
as
four? Okay.
They don't count the WBF. Now, Iran Buckley, the last fight he was heavyweight champion? Did you know that? In his last fight, he won a heavyweight title. Look it up.
Was it an IBA title?
Yeah, it wasn't a major title, though.
Was it an IBA title or something like that?
WBF.
Oh, WBF, okay.
Okay. There's so many about there.
Yeah, you can add those two. I think I just gave you the answer. Who had the – nobody ever gets this right. He retired undefeated as a champion but not a fighter, a heavyweight.
He retired undefeated as a champion, but not a heavyweight.
He retired undefeated as a champion, but not a heavyweight.
I'm sorry. He retired undefeated as a champion, but he was not undefeated as a fighter.
Undefeated as a champion, Salvador Sanchez.
Try again. This is a heavyweight we're talking about.
Okay, heavyweight. He retired undefeated as a champion, but not undefeated as a fighter.
Right. That's the last freebie you get.
I don't know. Who is it?
A gentleman by the name of Joe Lewis. Never lost in a heavyweight title fight.
Yes, he did. He lost to Max Schmeling. Wasn't that a title fight?
No. He didn't have the belt then. No, he did not. He did not have the belt then. You go look that up.
I'm going to look that up. Yeah. Yes, all right. That's a good one.
Yeah, because in his next
you're
fight
doing
where
good
he
here with these trivia questions, man.
Yeah, because in his next fight where he has to sign
Troy, here's what you do. Do me a favor, Troy.
I'm not giving you any more, so it don't matter. Yeah.
No, listen to what I'm saying though. Go to Twitter. All right, find me at Ringside73 and send me these questions. That way you can DM me the questions and we can use them because these are good ones.
Okay. All right,
He can play the game next week. You want to play the game next week?
He's barred from playing the game because he's
cool,
too good. He's going to be trivia question. I can't
listen,
send
listen,
me.
No, I'll play on one condition. I play on one condition, right? If you shave B's back on air, all right?
I'm good with that. No, absolutely not.
What do you say, shave Beebs what?
Shave Beebs back or something like that? I don't know what kind of show you want to watch, buddy, but that ain't it, man.
I don't have any hair on my back, man. You can shave my brother's back. My brother got hair
on
his back.
You are a grizzly. You are a grizzly, dude, but all right.
I got hair on my chest, but not on my back.
Man, this is TMI here. Too much information, guys.
I mean, I'm Lebanese. What you expect, man? I'm Lebanese. We're hairy people, bro.
A lot of male bonding going on here. This phone call just went south right away. All right, Troy, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much. There you go. Dale from Chi-Town said Lois already did. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And also, guys, if you want to see that pie video, just go to Twitter at ringside73, and I've got it posted up there. And we will see you guys next week, man. Talk about the big Devin Haney win. There you go.